The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are ours. From God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who was born to save us. Amen. Today is one of the days that Lutherans get all spiritual. I mean, we're a pretty heady crowd, right? We study a lot and we are not afraid of science and logic and reason. We have doctrines we can memorize and theologies that can be mapped out. We have creeds that are pretty short and fully summarize who God is, all three persons of God. We often pull apart a parable and place ourselves in the place of the various characters, but not before we've looked at the language and the words and the original, maybe the Greek, and we've wondered about the context of first century Palestine when Jesus was living. But today, we dress the altar in white. We have banners of jingling bells. We set candles ablaze. We toll a long bell for the memory of those that have died. And we say their names. Today we bear witness to how thin the veil is between life and death. How we're on this journey of life, and along the path stands this great cloud of witnesses who have lived and have died, but are somehow miraculously still present with us, still joined to us in a miracle of baptism. Someone who popped into a Lutheran church on All Saints Sunday to see what the Lutherans are all about might get the idea that we're more into maybe seances than liturgical practices, right? Because today we are bold to say that Christ's life, death, and resurrection changed all of life, death, and brings resurrection. We are bold to say that death would like to separate us from all those we love forever, but it can't. We come here and we actually say that the communion table grows larger every day, that there is always room for all believers at the table. We come here and we're careful to only say things that are biblical, and the Bible doesn't tell us all that much about what happens when we die. I mean, it gives us a big picture, eternal life, resurrection of the body, but it doesn't really tell us what happens the day we die and the day after we die. We're given prophecies and visions about our bodies and maybe whether we'll recognize one another when we are raised. And Jesus says that we will be with him in paradise, But we don't get a clear picture of how any of that happens. My husband was cremated this year, and that's blunt, I know, but it's an important thing to me. We have sprinkled his ashes in two camps in Wisconsin, at Luther Ridge here in North Carolina, and in our backyard. So what does that mean for Resurrection Day? I don't have any idea. How does resurrection of the body and life everlasting work for Ken? I don't know. But I don't need to know scientifically how God will manage to keep a promise. Seems from my little human vantage point like a really hard promise to keep. To say that resurrection of the body is promised for all who have believed and lived and died. People who have lived so long ago that I know, cremation or otherwise, their bones are simply ashes. But we get to leave that part to God. And we do. And we come here on All Saints Day and we read from Isaiah, a prophecy of God providing rich foods and fine wines and destroying the veil of death that lays over the nations. And we read the prophecy from Revelation about God making all things new. And we read about an actual resurrection in the Gospel of John. Lazarus, come out, Jesus says. And we actively defy death, and we sing the word Alleluia all day today. Alleluia about the saints who from their labors now rest. We have an insert with six names on it today. Six people who are not in our pews anymore. Four of them who are not on our homebound list anymore. Two people with kids still living at home. Those six names are not there because they got perfect attendance or won some award or made the dean's list or accomplished some fun thing. This list is a list of the dead. Death took them, and yet we have come here to sing Alleluia. You and I have come here to splash baptismal water and light candles and kneel at the altar with each other, taking into our very cells the body of Christ, eating the body of Christ because we are the body of Christ, therefore becoming more the body of Christ, shoulder to shoulder with the body of Christ, joined forever by the water in the font and the promise and seal of the Spirit to the full complement of all the saints. And death simply doesn't have anything to say about who is at the table or who is still at the table. As I age, I'm more and more aware of that. The list of those who have died but who are still saints in my life, to whom I'm still joined by font and meal and Christ and Spirit, that list is growing. And for some of you, the list is very long, and you tell me how sad that makes you. So I invite you to imagine. Imagine right now. Imagine when you're up here today. Imagine those who have died, kneeling with you, looking across the railing at you. For me, that cloud of witnesses already includes all my grandparents, all my parents-in-law, a brother-in-law, my 25-year-old niece, my 18-year-old high school best friend, a cousin, a couple of friends, my mentor during seminary internship, a seminary classmate, my dear friend's 19-year-old son, my first husband, who is my children's father, and now Ken. And this is the day we shout into the darkness. Hey, darkness, the light is still shining. You tried and you lost. Those members of the body of Christ you think you took from us, they're just, I don't actually know, but I do know that the Bible tells us that they are resting in the Lord. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Resting in the Lord. But they are not gone.
They're members of the body of Christ, and joined to Christ forever means joined to Christ forever. And if Ken and Pam and Bill and Luella and Alice and Billy were joined to Christ forever, and so are we, then we're living inside a mystery. And today we gather to proclaim that this is the kind of God we have, the kind who claims forever, even if we can't even imagine what forever is, the kind of God who weaves people into a tapestry that cannot be unwoven, even if we can't comprehend that. We have the kind of God who promises the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, even when we can't define or figure out what that possibly could mean. Today, we'll use light to represent the saints who have gone before us. As you come up for Holy Communion, please come to the tables in the front. On them you will find candles like this. These are the same candles we held Christmas Eve when we sang the birth of the one who was born to save us. Please take a candle and light it from another flame and be very careful. Speak the name of a saint or hold them silently in your heart. And stick your candle deeply into the sand so it doesn't tip over. And if you're one of the first, please put it near the middle and the center so that those of us who come after can put them and nobody will then reach over a flame and hurt themselves. And then come up for the meal, whereby the light of the saints will be nourished by Christ's body and blood. And I invite you to press into this today. Don't push away every sad feeling that you have. Bring them here to the cross and the table with your brothers and your sisters and light, and breathe the names of those who have died and stand in defiance of death. And claim the promise that was made to you and me at the font. Because the baby who came to save us did